Hi. We are so excited to be back with another really cool interview. This time, we are not speaking to an author. We're talking to a librarian from the New York Public Library, which, I mean, if you've listened to our podcast or if you follow our very own host, Emily, who is the Lazy Library, you know, we're huge library fans over at the podcast. So this was a really cool conversation for us.
Yeah. And even if you're not in New York, it's still interesting just to hear about like what librarians do the day to day. She tells us a bit about how she got into it. And I'm sure programs that she mentioned are available for you guys if your library isn't open yet. And we also found out that it's the 125th anniversary of the New York Public Library. So yeah. Like weirdly timely, not planned.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I don't know. Libraries, I feel like, are just cool in general because they're always adapting like constantly, especially in the age of internet. And so we kind of get into that. But, you know, in this COVID era, I feel like, I don't know, you just don't know how like anything is going to handle it. But this conversation with Melissa was very reassuring, and libraries are definitely here to stay. And especially the New York Public Library. It's cool, I think, how they've adapted during this time. So enjoy.
So enjoy.
This is going to be the best book you ever read. Like, this is your new favorite book.
Off the internet, man. Off the Bookstagram.
I need to go be introverted.
Welcome to What's in the City Pod.
Hey guys, welcome back to Books in the City. I'm Kayla.
I'm Libby.
And I'm Melissa.
So excited to have you here with us today. Can you tell our listeners a bit about yourself and what you do for the New York Public Library?
Sure. So my name is Melissa, and I am the managing librarian at the Bronx Library Center, located on Kingsbridge Road. And I've been with NYPL for 20 glorious years.
Wow. And
yes.
That's amazing.
And I oversee the day-to-day supervision of the Bronx Library Center, including the daily oversight of all public service units.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would entail a lot. That's like...
yes.
Casual.
Yeah. I would love to know when you knew you wanted to be a librarian, or kind of what drew you to the career in the first place.
Definitely. So in 2000, I was a junior at St. John's University, and I applied for a position. It was supposed to be after school position, and just, you know, to pay the books, pay my Metro card, and just to make it in New York. And I was able to actually... When I graduated from St. John's with my bachelor's, I moved up to an information assistant at the Throgs Neck Library in the Bronx. And there I spent 4 years, and I was able to shadow an adult librarian. And I was interested in creating programs, creating the collection. So that was something that I never did when I first started out in the after school position. So I just became very interested because there are all these books and I never knew, like, how do they get there? How do they know what books to select? How do you create a program? So from there, I didn't know how to become a librarian. I was like, how do you do that? What is it? You know, what does it entail? And I found out that I could apply to go to Queens College, and they had a master's in information library science degree.
Oh, cool.
And that's what you would need to become a librarian. So I did it, and 20 years later, I'm still here.
So your undergrad, that wasn't related to the librarian at all?
So my undergrad at St. John's was a business management degree.
Okay.
So it's just ironic that it does coincide. I am using it for this position as a managing librarian.
Right.
At the Bronx Library Center. So... It took me some time, but yes, I'm finally using my undergrad degree. Nice.
So what's a typical day in the life of a New York librarian like?
Librarians, we provide reference service and resource information recommendations using print media. We conduct outreach with community-based organizations, schools, daycares, community groups to promote library services and other services and initiatives that align with the New York Public Library's mission statement. And we also develop and promote programs to build literacy and the love of reading. So the typical day when you're at work would be like to sort out the materials. If there's a patron that requested a specific title from another library and we just didn't have it at our location, we receive what we call bins every morning, and we have to go through those bins. We check them in so that you can be notified that your book is ready to pick up. We do a lot of collection development. So that's really going through our stacks, trying to figure out like what would be the best book recommendation this week or what would our patron want. And we do get a lot of inquiries like, I'm bored, and what's the new read? What's out there? So we have to keep on top of the best sellers. We use book lists and we use other sources to help us provide those services as well.
Nice. Is there anything you wish that people knew about the library that maybe they don't know, or maybe you didn't know until you started working there?
I would like to put out that we offer more than books. So we have a lot of resources that people are not aware of. And when I first started working at the library, the running joke in my family was that I just sat and read books all day. And that is not what I do.
That would be nice, though.
I know, right? But we do offer a lot of tech classes as well and database classes. So we have had individuals, they're either job seeking or students that they have to, they don't know how to use the computer, how to use Microsoft Word. And we actually do offer those types of classes. We do a lot of classes with teachers, and we have a collaboration in which we will have database classes. So we try to show students that there is more to Google and more to Wikipedia, and they can find credible sources on databases. We also offer English classes. So we have a lot of resources. It's not just books.
It's amazing. So we know that libraries have to constantly adapt with time, whether like the age of the internet and now ebooks and things. Can you talk about how COVID has affected the library through, like, how is it in this time that we're living in?
So in mid-March, the library announced that it was closing 92 locations until further notice, and it began reopening July 13th. The library moved quickly to ensure public service could remain while its doors were physically closed. And currently, the library has 50 branches open for grab-and-go service over half of our locations. So grab-and-go entails patrons reserving materials in advance and pick them up and return them with a contactless process. So right now we are not offering programs or browsing, but we are promoting our collections, and we are encouraging readers, you know, to put their materials on reserve. And, you know, you just come pick them up. We continue to offer expanded digital services via nypl.org, including virtual programs, classes, and ebooks. And surprisingly, we've seen a 60% increase in downloads of our Simply e-reader app since mid-March.
Wow.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yes.
Huh. Everyone had a bunch of free time.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I hope that translates to after COVID times and like when it's back to normal, you know, like that rate of downloading ebooks keeps up. That would be really cool to see.
Yes, and I think also the convenience. Everyone has to kind of navigate this new normal and what it kind of entails for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's how much TV can you really watch? Like, I know for me, I was home and I was just over it already. So I think this will kind of pick up. I think it'll stay steady.
Is your branch open?
So yes, my location was one of the locations that we opened as a grab and go service. Mm. So we currently are offering that. So if anyone wants to place a reserve, for a specific item, you will be notified when it comes in, and you can come visit us to pick up your item, of course, or return any other items that you have.
Yeah, visiting the library again sounds wonderful. Yes. I hope people take you up on that. How does the library decide which books to purchase? I know you kind of mentioned working with Booklist and other trade organizations, but yeah, how do you make those decisions? And I guess when, you know, in the timeline of a book coming out and all of that?
Sure. So we actually do have a department that they are a team of selectors, and they consider a wide range of factors when considering new titles for the collection, including reviews, circulation data, community interest, plus all the criteria laid out in the library's collection development policy that we have. So in English, they mostly buy new releases before they are published, so they can have them available for patrons quickly, but also keep an eye on holds and patrons' requests. And they use that information to purchase additional titles. And as more copies are needed, or if a book becomes extremely popular, kind of out of nowhere, they're able to purchase more copies as well. And they also regularly do what we call a refresh purchasing, which means buying new copies of titles that we already own. So for example, because a book was popular or it was commonly used at a local school, or it became a renewed interest in a title, especially when a TV series comes out or a movie comes out, they'll refresh that collection.
Huh. Oh, wow.
That's cool. I didn't realize. I mean, that makes sense, but yeah, something I never thought about.
And you just assume that the library just always had it, like automatically. Yeah, it just like appears.
Our selection team is on it. They know a good book before it even comes out.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. So if someone listening wants to become a librarian, what advice would you give them?
The major advice I would give them is to have that passion to work with a diverse community, and have that passion to promote literacy. So it, like I said, like it's not just reading the books. It's also a lot of community engagement, connecting with those schools, connecting with your readers, and just have that passion to do it. The same way a teacher, they're passionate about their students. We are passionate about our community.
Oh, you kind of are like a teacher in that aspect. So what are some weird things that you found in the pages of a return book?
I have found Metro cards are surprisingly, I get a lot of unused Metro cards. Unused. They're recycled into bookmarks. Photos.
Oh, wow.
Like class photos. I don't know if they're using them as bookmarks and they forget.
Oh, wow.
I've seen postcards.
Like written?
Yeah, like written postcards. Wow. Or sometimes they even leave notes for us. Like
this, oh my
they'll
God.
Put their own little, like, this was a great read. Oh. Or I really like this character. I didn't like this character. Or they'll leave us, like, page 29 was missing. Can you please let me know what happened on that page? So like little notes like that.
That's so cute.
I love that, yeah.
And grocery lists. I find a lot of grocery lists and of course money. So with the money, it's easy when we scan in the book to get the patron's information. So I have called and let them know like, hey, you know, you left $10 there or credit card. I don't
Oh my God. Know.
Yeah.
Wow.
IDs, credit cards. Yes.
I feel like on a recent episode, we were just talking about if we use any non-bookmark objects as bookmarks, and this is like probably the, you know, what all these people are doing as they're reading, just like without thinking about it. But that's wild.
I can't believe a credit card.
Yeah.
Yes. Credit cards. So what's funny is that I'll call them and I'm like, hey, you know, like, hey, Mr. So-and-so, I believe that you may have left something in the book that you just returned. And some of them have said, you know, I just went to the store and I can't find my credit card.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So they head back.
Yes.
Can you kind of talk about how the branches all work together and I guess talk to each other to create this giant network? And you know, I guess different branches like within the Bronx, but also just the whole of the New York Public Library system, like between the boroughs?
Sure. Sure. So the foundation of the New York Public Library's mission statement is to inspire lifelong learning, advance knowledge, and strengthen our communities. Mm-hmm. In every department, we all run with that mission statement. So at the end of the day, we're all servicing our communities and our patrons and having that renewed passion for the love of literacy. So each department, we all have, you know, our different assigned tasks, but we all communicate with each other to see how can this goal that we were tasked with and aligned with the New York Public Library's mission statement, how can we all work together to have this accomplished? So if that means having like team meetings, well, right now virtual, so a lot of virtual meetings are happening, collaborations are happening, especially across the Bronx. We really want to show that the Bronx is reading. The Bronx is here, we're here to stay. And we want to take away that stigma that people don't read in the Bronx. So if that means collaborating with outside organizations that also promote reading and that love of literacy, we'll do that to every extent. And it's just all of us networking together just to make sure that we all are aligned with that end goal.
That's awesome.
That's cool. So for those of you listening, you might not know, but the New York Public Library has branches throughout the boroughs. What is your favorite library building?
So if I don't say my branch, well, I mean, even as a child, I was always in awe of our flagship location, the Stephen A. Schwartzman building at the 42nd Street and Fifth Avenue location. Just a beautiful building. You go in there and I feel like a tourist sometimes. Like,
I'm
in awe, and I work for the organization. So in Manhattan, definitely that is the building that I would recommend everyone to at least go in there. And in the Bronx Library Center, there's no place like it. We are the flagship location for the Bronx. We are the biggest location for the Bronx. And if you've never been there, please visit us. But place your reserve because we still are in our grab and go phase. But that location, it's beautiful.
Circling back to the grab and go thing, I can't stop thinking it's like takeout for books. Like, I love that.
So for grab and go, so let's say you want the book Wonder. You would go on our website or you would go using your Simply Eat app. So we do have an app in which you can place the reserves on hold with your digital library card, and you will place it on reserve and you will pick your location. So, and when you ask what's the typical day, probably the next day we would get notified that you have this book on reserve. We'll pull it from the shelf. We will scan it and it will, we call it trap a hold. So it'll trap to your card. And then you will be notified that the book is ready for you to pick up. So we will have it ready for you in a designated location. You walk through our doors, you look at the last four numbers of your library card, and you literally take the book and you leave because we did all the work for you. That's so you're literally grabbing and going.
So efficient.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where can people go online to check if their branch is open for this grab and go?
Sure. So you would go to nypl.org. So right on top, we do have a banner in yellow and it says the New York Public Library is offering grab and go service at 50 locations as part of our gradual reopening. Find a location near you. So you would click on that and it would give you all of the locations.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Okay. So switching gears a little back to books. And I don't know if this is something you would know yet, or if this is like an end of the year data thing, but do you know what the most popular book checked out from the library has been so far in 2020? Or is there like, you know, one most popular book every year?
So I was able to get that information for you.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
So we're not finished with 2020 yet. Yes. 2020 is not finished with us yet. But I was able to get that for you. So the top five prints. Material so far is Where the Crawdads Sing, The Dutch House, American Dirt, Normal People, and Such a Fun Age.
Okay.
Wow.
I feel like that tracks, or I mean, that makes sense. Like, I've heard good things about all those books, or at least heard people talking about all of those quite a bit.
And also in 2020, the New York Public Library, we're celebrating our 125th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. So actually, the number one checkout of all time in New York Public Library history is The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats.
I don't even know what that book is.
Yeah.
Wow. It's actually, it's a children's book.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
That makes more sense. I don't feel as bad. Wow.
That's so cool.
Did you guys have like, you know, anniversary plans for this year? I'm sure there was like programming and stuff that you had.
Yes. We were able to kick off a lot of our programming before March, before pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And if you go on our website, we do have like the book list, the book recommendations, the top 125 books that were ever checked out in New York Public Library history.
Wow.
Yes. So
we're going to check that out after this.
Yes. Yeah. We might not be doing a lot of the celebrations in person, but online virtually, we are. You'll be able to see everything.
Okay.
Wow, that's cool.
We'll definitely link to all of this in the show notes for everyone listening. So we'll link to the list and where you can find your grab and go locations. So what can the public be doing now to help keep libraries alive and thriving? Like, is there any advice you have for the public to help libraries in this time?
Visit our website, place your reserves on the materials. Of course, let everyone know reading has not gone away. COVID has not taken away our ability, to read and just rediscover maybe a passion that we've been, everyday life. Like, I didn't have time to read. And now, we have some more time to ourselves and just fall in love with books again. That's all I can ask, is fall in love with literacy.
So what's your favorite part about being a New York Public Library librarian?
My favorite part is every day. I don't have a routine. Every day is something new. Every day is something different. Our public, they appreciate us. And I did not realize the appreciation, I think, until this closure. Having patrons, you're going out to do your essential, chores and making sure you have your toilet paper and your Clorox wipes. And then you run into a patron and the first thing they're asking is like, when is the library opening? I need a book, or, I need to print something. And I knew the impact we had, but I never knew the impact when we were closed.
Yeah.
That our community, they miss us and they need us.
Oh,
wow. So, that's so sweet.
Yeah. It's bittersweet, I feel like.
Yeah.
You don't know what you had until it's gone.
Yes. Right. Yes. And we miss our community. We miss them.
Yeah.
And we miss our children.
Oh.
Is there any timeline for when you guys will be like fully functioning? Because I feel like the city kind of is moving along now.
No, unfortunately, I don't have that information. I don't know. But we are following all of the, CDC guidelines and the state mandates. So I don't know.
Yeah. I know one of our other hosts, Emily, she's been mourning the library closures like since March, since this all started. She loves the library, and I feel like that's definitely true of a lot of people, especially in the city. Okay, so we always like to wrap up with what we're reading. So can you tell us what you're currently reading, or if you've read anything incredible recently, and then what is up next for you?
So during this quarantine period, I did do a lot of Netflixing. So I came upon a series, Unorthodox.
Oh. And
I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a book. I feel like I should have known that. And I didn't. So I downloaded it on my phone using the Simply E app. Mm-hmm. So it's Unorthodox, The Scandalous Rejection of My Hasidic Roots, a memoir by Deborah Feldman. I'm liking it. It's something different for me. That's not usually my genre.
I didn't know that's a book either.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Did you like the show?
I did. I binge watched. I'm not going to lie. And then I saw it again when I told my husband, oh, you got to watch this. And so I saw it twice.
Rewatch. Nice. Yeah.
What's your typical genre?
So I go in phases. So I had a phase that it was just like urban fiction. Mm-hmm. And then I had a phase that I just wanted classics. So my go-to book is usually The Great Gatsby. Like, that just brings back so many memories from when I was in high school. Uh-huh. So whenever I'm feeling nostalgic, I'm like, okay, I need that book.
Time for Gatsby.
Great Gatsby and Love Story. Like, I don't know why I really like that book. And I like the movie. Robert Redford. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the actor that just drew me to that book.
Yeah. Did you like the remake? Did you see the one? When did that come out? I don't remember, but the Leo.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of remakes. Oh, okay, if I really like the movie, so I hope they never make, like, do a reboot of Back to the Future, because I think my heart just, like, I can't take it. But, I grew up in the 80s, so if it's an 80s movie, I'm like, just leave it alone. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't, we don't need
those ones. They're still so good to watch that, like, they don't need to be touched.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us and for answering some questions about the New York Public Library. This was really informative and just also great to talk to you about how it's continued to thrive during these weird times. That's comforting to me.
Yes, we are still here.
Yes.
And we're waiting. We're waiting for everyone. Okay, well, thank you for having me.
Thank you.